welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, well, praise God. It's interesting getting everybody put their hands up that's been part of Kingdom Faith. I mean, Dennis and Leslie were running units. Dan was the stage manager, making everything happen in the main hall. And Brian and Shona were assistant unit leaders. With Steve and Nikki were running the unit. And Elka and Claire and Steve were also helping me make... we did like an eight, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire 8 o'clocks, didn't we? Woo! Hallelujah. How many of our albums? Did we sell 50 albums just on the basis of those 8 o'clock? So, and there's only 4 tracks on them. And we would sell them to you, but we sold out. Hallelujah. It was just great that people just got caught up in the enthusiasm. But there were so many more. I mean, in fact, a lot of them aren't here this morning. Some have gone off straight on holiday or visiting relatives or maybe still asleep, one of the two. Hallelujah, because they were working so hard. So it was a great week. And I was wondering what to do this morning. You know, it's funny coming back from Faith Camp because you've heard message after message after message. And you're aware that half or maybe two-thirds of us have heard message after message after message. But the rest of you, stop it. That's a private Faith Camp joke for those that were there on Clive Urquhart evening. Stop it. Sorry about that. And you know, that's really mean. Left you all out of that. And I can't even explain it because it's too weird. All right? You'll just have to watch a DVD of One of the Nights. So I was thinking, well, I'm not going to go full preach mode this morning. There was one message which for me I thought was just brilliant. And I'm just going to, I've got some extra bits from it, but also... most of it, I'm just going to repeat some of what Pastor Clive said on Friday morning, actually, because it was such a key message. But we haven't got the length of time that you can have at Faith Camp to really expand something. So I've not got time to go through into it. I haven't got the front row theology section at all, for those of you who were there. That was great. I'm glad to see some of you were listening. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he was speaking a lot from Jeremiah 29. Which was around where Tony was preaching the other week, wasn't it? And this is the same period of time where Jeremiah is in trouble in Jerusalem. Yeah, I also preached from it as well, from Jeremiah 33. Do you remember it starts off, Jeremiah was confined, you know? And because the word that he was bringing wasn't popular. The king didn't want this message of, you're all going to get carted off into exile. And Jerusalem was in a pretty sad state anyway. It had already been sacked by the Babylonians, and all the sort of craftsmen and wealthy people of Jerusalem, most of them had already been taken off to Babylon. And when we come into this passage here, that's what's actually happening. Jeremiah is writing to those of them that have been snatched from their homes and taken to Babylon. And it's a very interesting context because you need to realize that these Israelites are now in a place which to them was full of everything that was unfamiliar. I mean, when we talk of Babylon today, there's this, it's a byword for, you know, everything that's going wrong, isn't it? It's worldly, it's foreign gods. And it was a place of foreign gods and foreign worship and foreign food and foreign toilets. I don't know. Everything was foreign, all right? And... basically, they were even wondering, can we even worship God outside of the land that he's given to us? So Jeremiah writes this letter to be an encouragement, really. The occupation took place in 597 BC. And Babylonia, has in this period, succeeded in the ancient world of becoming the dominant power in the region. Before that, it was Assyria. So they're really on the ascendancy, and King Nebuchadnezzar, who's leading Babylon, is probably a very happy chap. But let's see what's happening. It's funny, a special word for Tony Presley here, because when I looked it up in a couple of commentaries, this passage, just to look at some of the background, and both of them were headed a word to encourage patience. Oh, not again. Patience and composure. A word to encourage patience and composure. Because, again, Jeremiah is being very unpopular at this point. Because the exiles are all saying God's going to get us back. There's some false prophets amongst them are saying God's going to restore you and we're all going back and he's going to get rid of the Babylonians and we're going to be victorious in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, who has heard the heart of the Lord, and the Lord knows that if he sent them all back, they're going to be in the same mess that they were anyway, where he wasn't being lifted up and foreign gods were coming into Israel and his name, the people, if you like, of Israel, were incapable at that point of being the people that he called them to be, a people that demonstrated his glory, his love, his compassion, his witness to the world that the Jewish people were called to be. And Jeremiah knew this. He'd heard from the Lord, and he knew that the period of exile was going to be about 70 years. They'd already been in exile about 11 years, so they had, 59 years to go. But that's certainly not, restoration is around the corner. Okay, so he's still not coming with a popular message. But he's saying, come on, we've got to wait patiently. And this is a bit where Clive was coming in on. Interestingly enough, there's a little sticker. Look, I'll show you here. There it is. That was my notes for a word in September 2007. Who knows the significance of September 2007? Okay, if you're a visitor this morning, let me tell you that September 2007 was when we moved into Scarborough. Into Scarborough. This was one of the foundational words that God gave me for the move into Scarborough. It even tells me, it says bishop and curate there, which must have been the joke that I was going to tell. So my entire preaching notes consist of bishop, curate, and the references. So we'll never know exactly what was said unless we go back on the recordings on the internet. Anyway. So that's interesting, because that means those kind of things mean they're always sort of foundational things that God is saying at this time. And the actual scripture that I was really focusing in on was one we're going to come to in a minute, which is verse 7. So we'll come back to that. But let's just go back to the beginning of chapter 29. So Jeremiah is writing, or rather the Bible is explaining. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem, as I was saying, you see, to the surviving elders amongst the exiles in Babylon, in other words, to the priests and the prophets and all the people Nebuchadnezzar had carried off into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? So, you know, I wasn't just making it up. It really is there in the Bible. Let's jump to verse 4, because we don't need to do all that stuff. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And this is the verse that really Clive focused on at camp. And I would encourage you, actually, if you get the opportunity to listen to Friday morning, it is. When I looked it up this morning, just checked that it was there, it's not got a title. And it looks like you can't, at the moment, I don't know whether they'll do it, but all the talks from camp, we haven't really got the infrastructure, or, well, we have in a way, but it was costing too much. So we've handed over all the production of messages and things to, I think it's called Gates of Praise. But if you go on our website, it gives you the link to get to their site. And it looks like at the moment that you can only order it on CD rather than the download. I do recommend you listen to it, because it's the whole thing that comes from this verse in verse 5, which, again, to put it in context, would have been actually quite an unpopular message, because the people wanted to go home. And for them, Jerusalem was home. And in this, Jeremiah is going to say, no, Jerusalem, your nation is no longer your home. In fact, you lot, this generation, you're not even going to go back. Can you imagine? Everything within you wanted to go back. Everything in you wanted to believe the false prophets that were around, which were stirring up sort of enthusiasm by saying we're going back. And here's Jeremiah saying, no, well, you're not going to go back. He even tells them how long it's going to be later on. But here he just says, build houses and settle down. It's an unusual word, because so often in the church we're talking about being pioneers and moving on and going for it and come on. And here Jeremiah just says, look, you're going to be living here. Build houses, settle down. And to pinch from Pastor Clive's word, he was saying that this is a time to build where we are at. That doesn't exclude people being sent out. Of course it doesn't. You know, there's a lot of us here were craftsmen sent from other places to be here, you know, to come and build what God is doing in this place. That doesn't mean you never move. But But when you are in a place, you have an attitude of, this is where God has planted me. This is what God has called me to. This is where I'm going to build my home. Because when you build something, you're investing your time and your energy into that land. You know, and this is so significant for us in terms of what God gave us, even just about this town. We don't all live in Scarborough. But God gave us Scarborough as a base from which to see something happen in Yorkshire. A move of God, we like to call it. Sometimes, reading Dave Gilpin recently, he says we need to concentrate more on a move of people. Because God is always ready to move, and it's the people that need to hear God and move. Hallelujah. I quite like a move. You know, we talk about a move of God, but how about a move of people? People rising up. But as we rise up, the sort of the flip side of the coin here, we're going to rise up, but we're going to build where we are. You know, let's face it, the Word of God says go, but many of us have already gone. You know, we've gone, a lot of people in this room here, you've moved to Scarborough. If you haven't moved to Scarborough, you've already gone, in the sense you're answering a call to go to your neighborhood and to your and to the people around you to make the name of Jesus known. So build houses and settle down. Plant gardens. This is long term. You know, Richard and Joyce aren't here. They were working flat out at camp, and Richard was doing all the recording and stuff. And from all the sort of, he handles all the talks going on around in all the seminars and different tents and stuff. But one of Joyce's great delights in recent times, of course, if you've never been up there, Lamplugh House is our training centre out in Thwing. And she's had a passion for the gardens. You know, she's thinking long term. When you plant things and you expand things, you have to plan long term. I'm not a gardener. I was actually blown away with complete astonishment to hear Clive talking about gardening in this talk. Apparently he's made an allotment at the bottom of his garden. I mean, and this is trendy cool Clive. He's got older pipe and slippers, I think, now. But hope you're listening, Clive. But he was talking about how they, you know, really had to dig it and sieve it, and then a load of people seemed to come in and help them, so I'm not sure how much he actually personally did in the end. And it sounds like Clive's doing a lot of the planting. But like Joyce at Lamplugh, the produce that's coming back now is wonderful. You know, he's getting huge carrots and courgettes, just like it's happening up at Lamplugh. And Joyce, with her vision, she thought ahead, she planned ahead, and she put in a rabbit-proof fence, you know, which so far they haven't managed to put a tunnel under. I keep imagining it like the Great Escape, you know. You look out the window, you can almost imagine the rabbits forming the break-in committee rather than the escape committee, you know. And you could, my mind just works like this, I'm sorry about this, but, you know, I can almost see rabbits coming on with the wooden horse and the rabbits exercising in the ground whilst underneath they're digging the tunnel. If you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, never mind. So, but she's built this fence, you know, and guard towers and searchlights and God, no, no. Which is stopping it all from being eaten, because she's thinking long term. She's thinking this is something that can help Lamplugh House to function as the house of restoration and training that it is. It's great when people come. They love to eat the stuff that's been made and grown right there and then, and organically, and all that stuff. You know, you can tell I'm a gardener, can't you? But they've been digging it in to make super. And these are days where God is perhaps taking things that have gone before and giving us fresh insight and fresh vision and expanding our minds as we build not just our own houses but into our community. Again, with Joyce, you know, she built this fence around, because Lamplugh House has had gardens before. But she knows before, rabbits ate a lot of what was produced. You know? The Word actually talks about little foxes coming in to spoil the vine. It's the same thing. Things come in and spoil it. You've got to guard what it is you're doing. But and so sometimes you need to change what it is you're doing, even when it's successful. Which is a bit like the whole Youth Angels initiative that we're on the verge of starting off. We still need volunteers, by the way. We still need people to join the team. Because Prayer for Youth has been faithfully praying and going out on the streets and meeting people for a long time as people here in Scarborough. And we could carry on doing what we've been doing, and we could say just add people to what they've been doing. But God's saying, no. What I want you to do now is think different Think bigger. Put a fence around it. Think ahead. Where is this going to grow? What is this going to grow into?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. By the way, some good news. I don't know, for those of you that were here, we were applying for funding for Street Angels and Youth Angels. And the funding has all been recommended. So it's all gone through to North Yorkshire County Council now to their meetings. It goes into a recommended projects file to be funded. And last year, all the recommended projects were funded. And that will enable us, for example, to employ Brian part-time to really develop the work of the Youth Angels. It's worth, amongst other things, he's not getting the whole lot of money, by the way, just in case you think we're going to make him very wealthy. But it's about £50,000 over 2 years. So it's not an insubstantial, you know, it's a substantial amount of money. So hope, you know, we want to do things that make a difference in our community. And Youth Angels, it's about making relationships with young people, showing them alternative life choices, and really coming to work with young people to see. We've got a problem with alcoholism amongst young people and drinking on the streets, and we want to get in there and change that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know? Hallelujah. The church just can't stand back and criticise and say society is going down the tubes. I see we have a young man from the Salvation Army here today, one of the world's best organisations at getting involved with the world and changing
Hallelujah.
It. You know?
Amen.
William Booth is one of my heroes.
Hallelujah.
He was very radical. We won't get into William Booth stories this morning, though. But there's some good ones. He shocked the people around him to give them a chance to wake up. Anyway, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce. Marry, have sons, daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Well, I'm obeying that bit of the word. My son's getting married, isn't he, next month? But the whole thing is long term. It's very easy to move from place to place to place, to go here, to go there, or the other thing is to stay where you are, but to sort of withdraw into your own little castle, you know, and put the drawbridge up. The world's going down the tubes. It's awful. Look at the state the world's in. Kids are on drugs. Kids are drinking. People are falling over in the streets late at night. Domestic violence is on the increase. I'm not having a part of that. We need to protect what we've got. Let's put the drawbridge up. So you can do it two ways. You can either move around from place to place trying to find your perfect promised land, or you can put the drawbridge up, or you can do what the Lord says and start sowing your life into the area. What I like about this is it's all normal stuff. He's not saying, you know, go and be weirdos in your area. Yeah. He's saying, live your lives. And remember who he's speaking to. They're in Babylon. This is what's so incredible. They are in Babylon. The biblical picture of what the worst place, the place of depravity in the world, as far as the Bible's concerned. It is the worst. And he's saying, yeah, well, build houses, plant gardens there in Babylon, marry, have children, and get on with your lives. And in that way, you will be a blessing to your community. You say, oh, he's just saying normal life. No, he's actually talking about blessing them. And then he says, before you get to that bit, increase in number there and do not increase. Sorry, do not decrease. Put my right tongue in. Increase in number there and do not crease. See what a week of camping does to you? Increase in number and do not decrease.
Hallelujah.
Or as Leslie is helpfully saying over there, do not diminish. Because the Lord's plan is always for us to increase. Why? Because he wants us to change and affect our people, the other people around us. He loves everyone. He died to see all men saved. For God so loved the whole world, not just us. We're not some elite little group. We're the opposite. We're just a bunch of servants here to make Jesus known. And we've got to find ways to do that. We could stand on the street corner and just preach. And at times God gets us to do that, doesn't he? But how much better if we can find out what the needs are in our community? Now, we can't meet all the needs of this community. Don't get me wrong, or Brid, or anywhere else. We've got to know what ones the Lord's calling us to do. There's far too much need for us to meet, that's for certain. So we just find what God's saying. And street angels and youth angels is obviously two big ones. There's all sorts of other stuff with our new building and all the vision God has given us for that in terms of reaching to the community with that and being a blessing in the community. Not just thinking it's our building, but no, it's actually going to be there to help people in the community. Amen? We want to be as effective as we can as the church in Scarborough. Remember, there's only one church in Scarborough. Many congregations, many great congregations in Scarborough. We're just part of what God's doing here in Scarborough. But we want to do the best we can in our part. Amen? The best we can when we're working together. The best we can when we're putting the building. We want to be a place of excellence that people see, wow, God is good. Yeah? Anyway, increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, here was the key verse that I preached on in September 2007. And you'll know that we do this if you come to prayer meetings and stuff, because we do it a lot in prayer. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And this really got in my heart when we came up here, that we were to pray for this town, that it would prosper, you know? And I know that we're just part of what God is doing, and there's great things and initiatives in the town. But, you know, when Scarborough won the most enterprising town in Britain, and then later on the most enterprising town in Europe, I'm celebrating with all the people that are happy about that. You know, I'm praying. I want this good when this town does something good. You know, it's very easy for everybody to just join in and moan about Scarborough Borough Council. And there's lots to moan about. But how much better if we celebrate good things that are happening in our town? You know? And even celebrating the council when it does something good. You know? Because it does lots of good things. I met a lot of people there, and I'm amazed how many people genuinely are wanting good for their town. You know? They're caught up in the midst of everything that goes on in bureaucracy sometimes. And sometimes it's like they're trying to do the job like this. but a lot of them do love Scarborough. That's the overwhelming impression you get when you're there with them. And they live with a lot of negative stuff over them. You know, it must be a really difficult situation to work in sometimes. You know, constant criticism, especially in our local newspaper. And actually, okay, mistakes are made, but let's celebrate the good stuff as well. You know, I loved it when Scarborough opened the largest open-air theatre in Europe. You know, you think, yeah, come on, Scarborough. You know, I loved it when the Queen and Prince Philip come to open it up. It's just great, you know, celebrating things that are happening in the town. All the achievements of Scarborough Renaissance under Nick Taylor, and, you know, all that Malcolm Hall tries to do in the town. He's the town centre manager. And all these kind of things, you know. It's good to celebrate. I loved it when Roasters Coffee Shop was in the top 10 in the country in The Guardian. Roasters in Scarborough. Yeah, come on. You know? And this is a great town. You know? And I know you don't all live here, but we're all part of it now. It's all got in here somehow, in our hearts. There's something here that says, yeah, I want the best for this place. You know, the people of this place. And you think, well, that doesn't sound right. Well, if Jeremiah's encouraging it for Babylon, of all places, I think we can get it for Scarborough. You say, oh, but Scarborough's in such a mess. Have you seen what it's like at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday? Yeah. Yes, I have, actually. Quite often, you know. But what I do see is that people who are crying out for answer. You know, yes, you find people in the gutters. Yes, you find people being sick. Yes, there are people. This is not really helping with the recruiting, is it, Brian? Yes, you find people urinating in the streets and stuff like that. But I tell you, they're like people that are drowning. William Booth had a vision. I think Clive was preaching about it when he was here, wasn't he? It was called, I don't know what it's called, but I think it's called the Rock of Salvation. But he saw the Rock of Salvation in amidst the sea of darkness. And the reality is, no matter how well off or how comfortable or how depraved people look, the reality is, if they don't know the Lord, they're not on the Rock of Salvation. They are drowning in the sea of darkness. And sometimes as the church, we're so busy having praise parties. And I love good worship as much as the next person. We're so busy having praise parties up here, we've taken our eyes off the sea of darkness, which is out there. And in fact, we've got to get back, reach from the Rock of Salvation, or send a boat out and rescue parties, because it's time to pull these people literally out of the gutter and out of the sea of darkness, because they are heading for an eternity without God. In old-fashioned terms, they're going to hell. And we're here to change that around.
Amen.
We're here to realize we're not here to get blessed and have just a great time and fall over when somebody prays for us. We're here to see Jesus glorified in Scarborough, Bridlington, York, Whitby, this whole area. It's time to see the name of Jesus lifted up. It's time to see Jesus made famous.
Amen.
In this area. We don't want people to know about Kingdom Faith Church. We want people to know about Jesus. And we want people to know that there are church. There's a church in this town with all different labels. But there's a church in this town that is alive where people belong and know the Lord. So, you know, you might not like meeting in a library. Well, go to Scarborough Christian Fellowship, or St. Mary's, or Holy Apostles, or Ebenezer Baptist, or St. Martin's, or one of the Methodist churches, or the Salvation Army. I don't care. Just come and know Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. This isn't what Clive preached. This is my notes from Faith Camp here. In fact, if I turn over the page, I've got a picture of the Rock of Salvation and the Sea of Darkness. Hallelujah. But it was a vision that William Booth had, and it's what really led to the birth of the Salvation Army, because he got this incredible, he realized people were lost. You know, and I think sometimes as the modern church, amongst our guitars and happy times, which are good and right, by the way, we forget that there's people lost in the sea of darkness. Hallelujah. Maybe they're calling on their mobile right now. Hallelujah. It's all online, I think, that, if you want to look up more about that vision that he had. It's quite powerful. Now, that's not where I was going. That was Friday night, that. But you've already heard it here, haven't you, a lot of you? Because I think Clive talked about it, Lost Strong Tower. I'm going to read verse 7 again, because I think it's so important. Seek. And remember, he's talking about Babylon. That's what's so astonishing. Not Jerusalem at this point, which you'd expect. Seek the peace. They're desperate to get through, aren't they? Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Do stuff that makes a difference. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to see empty shops in the streets. Let's pray for business to be flourishing in this city.
Amen.
You say, well, they need to come to repentance, brother. Well, the Word of God tells me to bless. And, you know, we're not here to bring the judgment. That's Jesus' responsibility. We're here to show a way of life that Jesus offered, that you come to through repentance, but it's not our job to come up with a list of things that they need to get right. Because actually, if we were God, there's an extremely long list. Because if you look at your own life and how much longer you've got, which we don't know, what I can guarantee is over the next whatever it is, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, however long you live, God will be addressing things in every year. Because he knows when is the right time to address stuff.
Right.
And we have to sometimes just rest with God's wisdom, you know, and not just point out the faults in everybody and let them see why they should come to repentance. And not let the Holy Spirit do his job, which is not to bring condemnation, but bring people to conviction. And then we can show them the gift that repentance is, because it brings you out of conviction and into a right relationship with the Lord. Amen. So let's pray for our town. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Oh, no, we won't bother with all that bit. He goes on about the false prophets then. I don't think we particularly have got false prophets. Unless the false prophets are the ones, they're not doing what these ones were doing. These ones were preaching, we're all going to go back soon. What the ones today often are preaching doom and gloom over our nation. Why don't we start speaking some good over our nation? Maybe we are in the end times and we need to think like Jesus is returning at any moment. But they could have thought like that over the past 2,000 years and never done anything. Yeah? Maybe Jesus is coming back next week. Maybe it's in the next millennium. So in the meantime, let's expect his return at any moment, but also plan and plant, build houses and plant gardens and live our lives changing our communities.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Increase numbers. Do not decrease. Right, I'm going to give you a quick rundown on some of the bits he says and that Clive said and then finish, really. So I'm not really preaching on these. But he then went on to a long thing about builders and holiday makers and sitting on the front row and all that stuff, which is very interesting. But just bits of it I'll give you. The difference between, are you a builder or a holiday maker, he was asking. Okay? And actually, quite often, holiday maker sounds very attractive, especially at the end of a long week at Faith Camp when you're getting a bit tired from sleeping in the caravan and going to meetings and doing everything else. But a builder understands how today affects his future. All right, you know that what you do today will affect what happens tomorrow. So if you want to do something in an area, you need to start planning for it now. You need to build the home now. You need to get married now, you know? Whereas a holidaymaker lives for the moment. Let's go and have an ice cream. Let's go down the beach. You know, it's great when you're on holiday, but nothing comes from it. Builders invest because they're going to stick around. They're putting something into place for the future. Whereas a holidaymaker just spends what he's got there and now. He's not thinking about the future. Just let's spend the money. You know, usually because we've saved up, hopefully, for our holiday rather than on a credit card. But the builder mentality is one, let's invest into the future. I don't know whether it's right to be proud. I know there's a definite wrongness in proud. I don't know whether we've got the right word in English. I'm sure there's something that's, maybe it's pleased. It doesn't sound so good. But when we took up that building offering last March. Just hear my heart rather than the words, will you? Because you could take deep offence at this. Say, that's totally wrong. And I don't think it is. It's like a dad being proud of his children. Not that I'm saying you're my kids, but when we took up that offering, I was proud that so many people gave so faithfully into it. And there was, you know, a small amount of people that gave very, very sacrificially into that very large offering, you know, for the church the size we are. I was really proud because I could see people were builders. They were building into the future. At that point, we didn't actually have a building. We hope we got one. We think we got one. We're working it through with Comet. But, you know, people gave anyway because they wanted to build into the future. What we've done with that money? We've invested it. It's earning interest. You know, because what we're going to do is bigger than one offering. Yeah, I know it was a big offering, 70,000 odd, but it was not big enough for what we've got to do at all. Not if we're really going to do something that brings blessing in our community and, most importantly, I suppose, as well, lifts up the name of Jesus. You know? We don't want a rubbish place. We don't want a get-by place. That's why we'll have another offering in November. You know, I was hoping we'd be in a building by November. Looks most unlikely at the moment, really, with the work that's got to be done in it. I wanted Bengt Veldman's Strong Tower Conference, next one in November, to be in the new building. Amen. Don't think it's going to happen. I certainly hope James is there when he comes back next summer. But, you know, God keeps saying, wait patiently. That's what I was talking about with Tony. Some good singing going on out there. All right, come on, we've got to come to an end, Paul. Let's give you some more builders and holiday makers before we go. Builders know they have a part to play. Amen. They do work. When Kate and I started Elohim Church in Leicestershire, one of the key verses he gave us was out of Haggai. In fact, the whole church was planted out a lot of what God says in Haggai, in the Old Testament. There's this key verse that says, be bold, be strong, and work. And every now and then when I see Lynn, who's the pastor there now, and her husband Brian, she says, why did you have to have that as a foundational word for our church? We're always working. But the reality is, if we're pulled to be part of something, we're going to work.
That's right.
You know, that's why I wanted us to sort of celebrate everybody that worked at Faith Camp this year, because they're giving up weeks of their holiday. I think that's amazing that people give up weeks of their holiday to come and serve. Yeah. It's great. It's awesome. I'm blessed. I don't give up a week of my holiday. I'm at work. I can still take a week's holiday. Hallelujah. It's a funny time, I thought, when Clive was doing this, to be talking about holiday makers, because we've all got holidays in our mind. But, you know, it's good. What do holiday makers do? They don't work. They do whatever they want. They just hang out. Are you a builder or a holidaymaker? Are you a builder as part of your church, wherever you come from today? Or are you a builder of this church? It's what we're called to be. People that make a difference. Yeah? Let's move on, because I could get distracted into that for a long time. Builders. They build into people. They see lives changed and affected. Whereas a holidaymaker just has good memories and a few photographs. We don't need photographs because we have people. A builder lives for purpose, has a vision and a blueprint for where they're going. I hope, by the grace of God, that most of you at least know where we're going. You know, with the vision. That singing outside is something incredible. That's why we put the dare to dream bit of the vision in that leaflet I showed you earlier. That is so distracting. Definitely time to finish here, isn't it, really? No, don't shut the door. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's our town. It's not my style, but it's lovely. Builders build a home, a place of hospitality, an environment. You really don't need to shut it because I'm finishing, Claire. Builders build a home, a place of hospitality. They create an environment where people can flourish, where people feel encouraged. Because they are encouraged. And by the grace of God, there's a whole bunch of builders in this place. Hallelujah. Thinking, I want this church to be a place where we love one another. Amen. You know? And we never get loved enough. Because we're all fleshly, you know. There's never enough love. But we need to be part of making sure there is love. Right. You know, it's always easy to think nobody ever does enough for me. But how much are we doing for others? Whereas for holidaymakers, they don't build. They just need a place to stay. Amen? I'm gonna stop there, even though the singing has stopped. Let's just go back to one verse in Jeremiah 29. This is one of those verses that everybody does have on their fridge. I seem to keep coming up with ones that God doesn't, or you don't, rather. I don't know if God's got a fridge, but it's got verses on it. But verse 11. How many of you have got this written down somewhere or underlined in your Bible? Nevertheless, it is as true today as the day it was written. For I know, says the Lord, the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Oh, I love that. Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's definitely one to have on your fridge and in your notebook and underlined in your Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not quite a preach as normal this week, more of a share, more of a few thoughts, but some good stuff there, isn't there? You know, if you get time this week, look up Jeremiah 29 yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to show you something from it. Because first-hand revelation straight from God is so much better than listening to a preacher. Yeah? So much better than listening to a preacher. Well, most of the worship team have been at camp, so I'm going to spare them coming back up again because they've been working really hard and they've got to pack down yet. So be blessed.
Hallelujah.
All right? Hallelujah. And have a great... I don't know how many of you are on holiday in August. Kate and I are sort of on holiday. We're around, but we're on holiday. But we'll be here Sunday, sort of thing. And doing some work. Got to sort the budget out. But for next year, yes.
Amen.
How do we do next year's budget? Think about it. Building. What building? Where building? How much building? It's going to be an interesting budget, I tell you. Anyway, be blessed. God is on the throne. Jesus is awesome. And let's have a cup of tea.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.